Hello everyone, welcome back to Finding the Middle Path, Be Drama Free through DBT. In this episode, we're going to start a new section called Distress Tolerance, and the skills we're going to talk about today are accepts and tip. Let's get started. Alright, the module we're going to be talking about is called Distress Tolerance. So if we take those words apart, this section is entirely about how to tolerate distress and painful emotions in life. Why would we want to learn how to do that? Well, the answer is quite obvious. Life is never going to be pain-free. No matter how hard we work, no matter how many coping skills we employ, there's always going to be something that happens, something that exists that creates emotional pain or physical pain. Ultimately, if you try and avoid the pain, it can lead to more problems than it solves. It also can lead to impulsivity, which often results in actions that hurt yourself or hurt the people around you. Because of all those things, we want to try and learn how to tolerate that pain rather than avoiding it or just plain ignoring it. There are two sections in distress tolerance. Those are crisis survival and accepting reality. So the purpose of crisis survival, then, is to change the experience of the distress by changing your own experience. The purpose, of course, then, is to survive the crisis without taking impulsive action and making it worse. The second section, accepting reality, is all about learning how to accept circumstances that can't be changed rather than avoiding or fighting them, which generally increases suffering. You'll notice that this section that we're starting is the first of a couple that deal with things we can't control. So earlier we talked about mindfulness, and that's about controlling attention. We talked about emotion regulation, which is about controlling your emotions and how you respond to them. There are some things that you have absolutely no control over, and this is where distress tolerance can help. Okay. Our skill that we're going to talk about is a lovely acronym, and it's called ACCEPTS. The purpose of ACCEPTS is to distract using your wise mind. So all of these things that you'll be doing while you're employing the ACCEPTS skill are things that you have to purposefully take part in order to get the full benefit from using the skill. The acronym is ACCEPTS. The A is for activities, and that's basically just do something. By doing something, you fill your short-term memory and your physical sensations with different stimuli. Now, this helps you to stop painful emotions from reactivating over and over. Oftentimes, you'll find yourself doing something that you enjoy, so it's something that you like to do. The first C is for contributing. Now, contributing is just doing something nice for someone else. It could be someone that you know, someone that you care about, or it could be contributing to the world around you. Either one will work for this particular part. Now, the reason why contributing works is that by doing something nice for someone else, your attention begins to focus on other people rather than yourself. Another kind of side part of why it works is that it helps you to build self-worth when you're doing nice things for someone else or for the world around you. The second C is for comparisons. Now, when I'm teaching ACCEPTS to the teenagers, I like to tell them that ACCEPTS is a skill you have to use with caution, because there are three different letters that I have to give them a warning about, and comparisons is one of them. So with comparisons, you're supposed to compare yourself to those less fortunate. However, the caution is that by using comparisons, it can lead you to some distorted thinking, which can backfire and kind of make you feel worse. So as an example, if you start comparing yourself, the situation that you're in, to someone else who isn't doing as well, you might start to think that you're better than that person, which is what we call thinking errors, or sort of stinky thinking is what other people call it. The other part is that if you compare yourself to someone else, and at first you think, oh, I'm doing better than them, and as you examine it further, you realize, oh my gosh, I'm not doing better than them. What's wrong with me? Why am I feeling this way when they didn't feel this way? So it can make you feel worse about yourself. The last part about comparisons that might backfire a little is if you start to compare yourself to, let's say, the world around you. So you start thinking about the news and third world countries and all the things that are going around in the world, it could just make you feel sad. which is not the purpose of the skill, right? So comparisons is something that must be used with quite a bit of caution. The next letter, E, is for creating different emotions. So emotions is that letter. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be opposite emotions. So if you're feeling sad, you don't necessarily have to do something that's supposed to create happiness, because part of sadness is that you don't always enjoy the things that you used to enjoy. But it just needs to be different emotions. So it could be something that makes you feel a little motivated, or it could be something that makes you feel proud of yourself. It's just pretty much anything that creates an emotion different from what you're feeling. If you're feeling angry, opposite emotions might be doing something that makes you feel calm, right? Whatever it is, you just do something that creates a different emotion than what it is that you're feeling right now. The P in accepts is pushing away. So again, this is one that must be used with caution. You're not supposed to overuse this particular part of the skill, because if you push something away and you don't ever deal with it, things start to build up. And anytime that you have emotional buildup, you'll eventually explode from all of the emotional buildup, metaphorically, right? So an important piece of this is that you want to push it away, but make sure to designate an endpoint. So when I'm teaching this to the teenagers, I tell them, you know, if there's something triggering or something upsetting that happens on the weekend, you can push it away, put it in an imaginary box, write it down, slide it under your counselor's door, and then stop thinking about it until you can talk to your counselor about whatever it is that happened. And anytime that you find yourself thinking about it, purposely say, I'm going to address this issue when I can talk to my counselor. So it should be sort of, not overused. It shouldn't be the first thing that you try, but it can be very beneficial if the other things that you're trying aren't working. So this one is one of those things that sort of uses a last resort. T is thoughts, and it's replacing your thoughts. It's literally just busy work for the brain. So an example is you could do word searches, Sudoku, anything like that, that is almost kind of like a mindless activity that just makes your brain do something, makes your brain work. The example that I give the teenagers is at work in the cafeteria where we do most of our lectures, the ceiling has tiles, a bunch of tiles, and then the individual tiles each have dots. And so I always tell the story of teaching this skill, and I ask for examples. And one of the patients told me, you know, Lucinda, whenever I'm mad, I look up at the ceiling and I count the individual tiles. And I don't, you know, count one side and count the other and multiply, because that's cheating. I'll count each individual tile. And if after I do that, I'm still mad, which I usually am, I'll pick one tile and count the individual little dots in that tile. And then by the time I get done with that, I usually don't even finish. I've forgotten what I'm mad about, and then I'm over it. Whenever I tell that story, it's hilarious because the teenagers will all be like looking at me or looking down. And when I get to the part about counting the individual dots, every single one of them pretty much always looks up and looks astounded by that, because if you've never seen the ceiling, it's got like, there's probably 250 tiny little dots in the super high ceiling that you can barely see. So it's a funny little story, but that's what you can do, is just employ counting exercises. The other one I like to say is count to 100 by threes, which someone actually caught me and said, listen, you can't count to 100 by threes, 100 is not divisible by 3. That's not the point, right? The point is count to some large number by some other number that's difficult, not fives, because that's pretty easy, or twos or tens, those are all easy, just to get your brain focused on something else. Because that will also help your brain to stop re-triggering whatever it is that's distressing and literally just work on something different. The last letter is S, and that is for sensations. And you guessed it, there's also a caution about this one. And the sensations, if I didn't tell you, is intensify other sensations. So the caution with this is that this can be used in an unhealthy way. And that's actually what a lot of teenagers are used to. So with self-harm behaviors, with punching things, anything like that, part of the reason why those practices are employed is because it pulls them out of whatever they're thinking and it forces them to focus on the physical pain that they're feeling, which is ultimately using sensations, but in an unhealthy way. Another example can be, and even the book mentions this, you could put a hair tie around your wrist and snap it, and that could work for sensations. However, with someone with an addictive behavior, with someone in addiction, you can get addicted to that feeling, and it goes from being something that a quote-unquote normal person can do, snap their wrist and then they're focused on that, right, to an unhealthy behavior where they're snapping it so much that they've got bruises all around their wrist, yet they're continuing to do it because they can't stop, right? So you have to be really, really careful when you're telling someone to use the sensations and maybe come up with some healthy ways to do it rather than just saying intensify your other sensations. So some examples could be, an easy one is temperature. So taking a cold shower or taking a hot shower, but not to the point where it burns you, but just hot, right? Something for taste could be eating something that's really, really sour or something that's really, really spicy. It could also be sensations. You don't have to intensify them to the extreme, right? You could also do just running your feet along something that's patterned to try and increase those sensations in your feet. Whatever it is, whenever you suggest using sensations, it's really important to suggest a healthy way to use sensations so that the unhealthy ways aren't the ones that they employ. Okay, the second skill that we're going to talk about is called TIP. And TIP is a way to reduce extreme emotional arousal really, really quickly by tipping your body chemistry. So, as you know, when you're emotionally aroused, your body will prepare for action, right? TIP helps us to deactivate that body's response. The T in TIP is temperature. So you want to tip the temperature of your face by like splashing cold water on it. What this does is causes the heart rate to drop really, really quickly. The one thing to note is that it's really short-lived, so your heart rate will drop really quickly. But if you're continuing to focus on whatever it is that's distressing, you're just going to go right back up. So after you've tipped your heart rate down, you have to use more skills in order to maintain that lower heart rate. The I is for intense exercise. So you'll know when you get very highly emotionally aroused, you get all this energy inside, right? You have to have a place to put the energy. So if you put that emotional energy into a short burst of intense exercise, that means you're doing something that's not an impulsive action, that's putting the energy in instead. So I tell the teenagers, go over and do like 50 jumping jacks as fast as you can, or like 10 push-ups as fast as you can, or 50 squats as fast as you can, right? Because then they're getting all of that energy, all of that adrenaline out in a healthy outlet. And usually that will allow you to start kind of calming down a bit after you get someplace to put that energy. The first P in TIP, because there's two P's, T-I-P-P, is paced breathing. You can use any sort of breathing exercise that you like, but the most important part is to make sure that the exhalation is longer than the inhalation. And this will bring your heart rate down slowly and steadily. And the reason why you want to make sure your exhalation is longer than the inhalation is that when you inhale, your heart rate will go up just a teeny tiny bit. So then when you exhale, it will come back down just a teeny tiny bit. So if your exhalation with your heart rate going down is longer than the inhalation, then overall that will let your heart rate come down very slowly over a short period of time. You usually want to do it for like 5 minutes or so is a good time to practice that paced breathing. The final P is for progressive muscle relaxation. Now, the way you want to do this is start with a muscle group. So you could start with like the top of your head, your face, and tighten it and then relax it. As you're relaxing it, you want to say to yourself, either in your head or out loud, the word relax. And then you move down to your muscle group. So you'll do your arms and your hands. So hold it, tighten them, hold it for a second, and then relax and say the word relax and be mindful of how your body is relaxing. One of the things that this does is that it grabs tension in your body that you might not even have realized was there and forces you to let go of it, right? Now, you don't have to use all of the muscle groups. If you want to kind of be discreet, let's say you're in the middle of a crowd of people and you're starting to get a little anxious, you're starting to get emotionally aroused, and you want to calm yourself down, you can pick muscle groups that can't be seen. So you could pick your stomach, you could pick your legs, anything pretty much that you want. One thing that's actually really effective that, I mean, once you say it, you can't help thinking about it because it's so silly, is your butt. So tightening your butt, holding it, and then releasing it. And no one can see that, right? You're sitting on your butt. How can anyone see it? So that's one thing that I like to tell the teenagers is to practice tightening and releasing that particular muscle because they never forget it because it's so silly. And it's so funny that they think of that. Okay, that's all that I have for you today. All the information that I shared with you today was taken from the DBT Skills Manual for Adolescents by Jill Rathis and Alec Miller. Thank you so much for coming by, for listening, for spending 16 minutes of your time with me today to talk about distress tolerance skills. I hope you've taken something from this and you have lots of things to practice, and we'll see you next time when we find the middle path and be drama-free through DBT.